What is going on, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Beyond Rad podcast. My name is Chad, and this week we were joined by Andrew Connor. So some of you may recognize the name Andrew Connor, and that's because I had him on a podcast about a year and a half ago. Had a lot of fun talking to him back then, you know, talked about his project Echoes Away, which he's also continuing to still work on. He's also got another project that he's working on with some bandmates. The title, I've redacted, quote unquote, the name of the band out of this interview, so you may hear some random times where he mentions it, but it is something that they're planning on releasing some new music for hopefully soon. So real quick, before we jump in, want to just do a quick reminder for you guys. Every Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time, that's 7:30 Pacific, and 10:30 Eastern, I'm going to be doing streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/MrRadChad. And I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty, but I'm thinking about changing it up, playing some other games as well. So, you know, if you have any suggestions, send them on over to me. But be sure to come check out the stream, say hi, let me know what you think. And as well, you know, if you have any bands that you want to send my way, reach out. I'd love to talk to more bands and get to know more people. So be sure to head on over to Andrew's page, follow Echoes Away, as well as Desert Heat Recordings. He's a super talented dude, and I hope you guys enjoy this interview. So without further ado, let's just jump right on in. All right, I got it all working here.
Awesome.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good.
So, welcome back, man. Thanks for reaching back out, and thanks for joining me again.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Heck yeah, dude. Yeah, sorry, running a little late tonight. The gym opens tomorrow, so I finally booked the time to go and work out.
There you go.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time coming. So, how are things going with you, man?
Pretty good. I'm just staying at home, just recording music and playing a lot of video games, I guess. So,
what game you been playing?
Dude, I just started Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, man. What a killer game.
It's gnarly. It's way fun.
Yeah, man.
I slept on it.
Yeah, that one's, freaking... What is it? Rockstar Games. They just know what they're doing, especially when it comes to those giant open worlds.
Dude, the detail is crazy. Like, I love open world games, but some of the detail is unreal. Like, even like the newspapers on the ground, like, you can read everything. Like,
yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's almost like, even just like the attention to detail in terms of, like, if you go too long without like, shaving or getting a haircut, it actually grows in the game, and you're like, what the freak?
I love that stuff, dude. I love it.
Yeah, it just adds a whole other level to the gameplay, and it's just like, it's bizarre. Oh man, that's awesome. So obviously you said you've been recording a bunch of music, which is, you know, obviously the primary reason for the podcast here. And you released music recently, right?
Yeah.
So Clarity, the new single.
Mm-hmm.
And then Balance as well, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So nice. Those are two singles that are a part of it, just a collection of songs I'm hopefully going to be releasing this summer. But yeah, it's nice having the studio at home. Like, we moved all of the gear home just because of the virus and everything. So been nice not having to like drive into the studio. You can just wake up and walk in to your room and just sit down.
Yeah, dude, that's actually that's pretty fantastic to be able to have that flexibility.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace, and it's been helpful when writing all these ideas, because I don't hate having the studio at another location. Obviously it helps with like clients and everything, and I'd want it there, you know, as soon as possible, but it is kind of nice just to have that.
So did you move everything specifically because of the virus? You wanted to make sure you kept your productivity high?
Yeah, pretty much. Cause we weren't going to have many clients anyway, just because everyone wants to stay home, and that's just how we feel as well. And then our location's in downtown Provo. So you gotta kind of have to go through town to get there.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me. I'm an introvert. So I just stay home most of the time anyway. So that much has changed for me. I'm just home now and I don't have to drive to record anymore. So
that's funny. So what is the biggest thing that's changed?
The biggest thing is probably just not working really. I haven't gotten laid off. It's just, I haven't gotten fired, but there's just not really any work for me to do. I just started doing sound at a venue in Salt Lake called Kilby Court.
Oh dude, I love Kilby.
Yeah. So it's been cool. I've spent the last year training and everything and just working with sound engineering. And as soon as I start running my own shows and getting paid, this virus happens.
Oh, so, man. That sucks.
No one's doing shows at all. So I got to wait for bands to start booking stuff.
Yeah, dude, that's so gnarly. Yeah, I know that obviously Kilby's part of, what is it, SNS? And they have the Union, right? And they have Metro City Hall, right? A few different venues.
Yeah, there's the Urban Lounge.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously, Urban Lounge, not the Union. Yeah. And so I know they've obviously been hit pretty hard. So hopefully the live music scene rebounds pretty well. I've got my fingers crossed. It's been a lot more rough for musicians and for touring musicians than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah, I just feel people just kind of assume, oh, they're on tour, it's not a huge deal if I see them or not, if I miss them this time. And I guess on the grand scheme it is usually, but then when the whole crowd can't make it anymore, even bigger bands are losing a ton of money.
Oh yeah.
For regular touring, so it definitely affects everyone, even the big guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's an expensive, touring, there's so many more people involved than just the band too. The band
is the bigger you get.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bigger you get, the more people are with you. You know, you could have a whole lighting crew and a whole stage crew and all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And even just the sound guys who are doing all the sound check and making sure everything is set up and, you know, all of the gear, then you got the merch people and then you've got the drivers and you as the band grows, there's a lot of people who are on the line now who are gig workers basically. You know, they only are employed during the tour too. And so that's rough, man.
Yeah, I mean through SNS I was able to do some really cool stuff. I was working as stage hands for a few shows for the Ogden Twilight Festival.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, dude, that one's the acoustic one, right? They do the shows once a week, or
it's not acoustic always. They have full band acts and stuff. But it was just a really cool opportunity because I you know, my dad had this friend who was doing sound there at the time, and so I got to actually see the big dogs going in. You know,
oh, that's
unloading
super cool.
Semi trucks worth of gear and. We were part of this whole team and everyone's screaming all the time. And, you know, I got to help set up this huge video wall for the huge amphitheater. So it was a really cool opportunity. And it definitely made me appreciate what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
When you're seeing these crazy shows.
Yeah. There's a lot to it. Bands in terms of it's kind of funny because Kilby Court, production value in terms of what they're going to be setting up is going to be significantly smaller. Not necessarily that their production value is low. It's just that there's not enough room to really make a huge, huge show. And so but then as you step up into those larger venues, and then as you get to a place like USANA, the amphitheater, that's a completely different world. And obviously the Twilight series, where was that one at?
That was in the Ogden Amphitheater. There's a Salt Lake Twilight Series too. That happened at different times, but it was the Ogden one I was doing.
Okay, yeah, I know.
But,
I remember Iron and Wine did one of the Twilight series.
That was one of the shows I was doing.
Oh man, so cool.
It was pretty cool. Like, I'm really grateful I got to do that. And like, that's another reason I'm starting at Kilby, because, you know, the longer I do it, I'll be able to work my way up to like bigger venues.
Oh yeah.
Maybe, you know, at some point I'll be doing bigger stuff. That's kind of the goal, you know?
Yeah, so, dude.
I mean, comes with time.
What a cool opportunity too, as a musician, to like network too, like get to know a lot of bands.
Because
Kilby Court, they're actually one of the cooler venues in my opinion, because their dynamic is a lot like Valor in Provo, where Valor is, I guess, it's gotten a little bit more localized recently, but back when I was in high school, Kilby Court and Valor were like the transitional venues where bands that were growing rapidly would come through those venues. And so you'd catch them right at this awesome point where they're not superstars yet, but you know they're going to be.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, Kilby's kind of a cool place for that.
Dude, actually, and this really bums me out. We were going to have some big bands coming through for some reason. We were going to have Knuckle Puck come through. And
really?
And Citizen were going to come through. And I had no idea why. I was asking, like, how are these guys playing Kilby? They're going to sell out the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, dude. I went to With Confidence. And let's see, it was With Confidence, Broadside, and let's see, who's the other band that was there that night? And Sleep On It. Dude, that show was like at Kilby. Like, what the crap? And then the next night was I just spaced it. They're from Australia as well. Trophy Eyes.
Freesa?
Oh, no, true, yeah. Yeah, and so like those were two massive shows coming through Kilby, and I was like, what's happening at Kilby? Yeah,
dude, so I guess what happens if like the complex or like Urban or Metro's booked, like Kilby's like the last resort kind of thing. So if bands have to like cut their losses, I think, and just kind of like, you know what I mean, just like still play the show, they will. And I kind of think that's what happened with Citizen Knuckle Puck, but obviously they're canceled. So
yeah,
it would have already happened actually, but
yeah, because I know Knuckle Puck was supposed to be coming through again on the tour with Newfound Glory and Simple Plan too, which would have been next
that
month.
Definitely would not be a Kilby.
Yeah, definitely not. That one was sold out, and it was at the complex and it was sold out. So
yeah. I was like, nope, that's not gonna happen. It was nerve wracking though, because I love doing the shows, but I've always been worried, like, oh, what if I meet like Knuckle Puck, for example,
and you screw up their sound.
Their tour manager's like cussing me out, you
know? Oh man, dude,
like, I'm so sorry.
I've seen it happen a bunch of times. So one of the venues that I really enjoy going to, but I think a lot of the bands are not really keen on it, is the Loading Dock. I really enjoy that venue. It's just
they moved locations.
Oh, they did. Finally.
Yeah. It's still called the Loading Dock, but this is it. I can't remember. But
is it an actual physical venue now that's not an actual loading dock?
I haven't actually been there, but I've seen pictures and I've had some buddies play there, and it's just like this underground room. It's way bigger.
Oh, that's good. And indoors. Like,
yeah, it's indoors. It's not, there's not really a stage, I think. It's still like a foot off the ground kind of stage deal, you know? But like, there's way more room. I heard it was in like a kind of sketchy area, but I don't know.
Well, I mean,
like,
Loading Dock was in kind of a sketchy area too. So,
true.
I mean, most of the venues in Salt Lake are in the sketchy, I mean, it's Salt Lake, so it's not really uber sketchy. I mean, it's just right next to the Pioneer Park, where all the homeless people are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason for the sketchiness. But like, pretty much all the venues are within a few blocks of each other down there.
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'll be closing up at Kilby by myself at like 1 a.m. and I'll hear stuff. Like, one of my last shows I was closing up and I just started hearing this lady scream. Like, I don't know how far away it was. It was like It was far enough away that I couldn't do anything about it, even if I wanted to. But it was
Oh
like pretty
gosh.
scary, dude. I'm like,
Yeah.
I have to go get some like mace or something.
Yeah,
Just like keep
bro.
it on.
Yeah, make sure you have something there. Yeah, like, and the thing too is the dude who owns the property, so Kilby obviously shares that long driveway. It's like it's
Yeah.
that's the sketchiest whatever. Yeah, that
Dude,
drive.
they've cleaned it up a lot,
Oh
though.
yeah, but
I
like
don't know if you've been there recently, but it's actually pretty
it was about
nice.
8 months ago is the last time I went, I
Yeah.
think, about 8 months
They've been
ago.
working on cleaning it up for
Okay.
sure. Like, they've like remodeled a lot of the venue too.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it needed it. I put my sticker up on the window, so.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, those are all still there. Don't
Oh,
worry.
good, good. I'm
Yeah,
glad. Yeah, dude.
man.
But like, that's that driveway. I'm glad it's not as sketchy now. But that driveway that there across from the venue, there's like, looks like a dumpy old like storage facility or whatever. And the dude who owns it is like the grumpiest, like most crotchety old man, and he hates the music venue. Like every time he sees people, like I've run into him a few times as I've been at the venue, and he's just laying into the drivers of the vans every time. He's just laying into them to tell them to move
Really?
their vehicles, and I'm like, dude, stop being.
I've yet to see him yet, so hopefully when I
Yeah.
do, it's
Yeah, it's
not
not a
too
bad
bad.
experience. Yeah, I mean, he probably wouldn't be mad at you. He like I said, he
Yeah.
typically is targeting like the musicians and the drivers and stuff. And I was like, dude, come
There's
on.
like lots of signs now, and it's like pretty clean. Like they keep it clean. There's a whole like, residence and like bands only down this road. And
That's good.
so it's like I like because when I was playing there back in like 2012, 2013, like it was a dump, dude. I'm
Yeah,
not gonna
dude.
lie.
But that was what made it Kilby, you know what I mean? Like there's like
Yeah.
this there is like it was there is something like special about how it just kind of fit the mood, you know what I mean? With the green room too. Is it still green?
Yeah, oh, that room's super nice. There's like a one of those NES emulators in there now too.
Oh, nice.
So people just chill in there and play some Mario and whatever.
That's
But
awesome. No,
yeah.
I'm talking the venue. Do they still have that green siding in there
You mean like the green room right outside of the
no,
venue in the
like
back?
inside, like behind the stage. Remember they have like all that green plastic that like literally it makes the venue look green.
Oh,
Is that still that? Is it still that way?
I don't think so, because it's not
Dang.
ringing any bells.
Dang, that was one of the things with Kilby that I remembered every time. Like I played a couple of shows there, and every time pictures would come out and it would just be a green
Oh
background.
yeah, we're getting like a huge mural painted like on the far cement wall.
Nice.
I think it's just like black right now, and there's some like curtains on it. But last time I checked, I don't know if you know Scott, who like runs part of SNS. Like he's like my main boss. But yeah, he was having this artist come in and like do this big mural. I
That's
don't
so
know if that's
cool.
gonna be delayed at all.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I would hope that someone would be able to do it. I mean, I feel like that would be even a better opportunity for that mural to be done when there's not shows
Yeah,
going on.
there's
But
no one here.
yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
there's literally not going to be anyone there. So like that's social distancing at its finest right there.
Exactly, dude.
But dude, so you've been at Kilby, you've been working at Kilby for about a year, you said?
I started so doing that opportunity at, like I said, at the Twilight Festival. That's where I met Scott.
Okay.
And he's the coolest dude ever, man. And he just kind of asked me like if sound engineering was something I want to get started in, because he knew I kind of run my own studio, and I was learning how to do things on the producer side. So I was like, yeah, dude, like I'm super down, like let's do it. And so I was shadowing for a good like 3 or 4 months, and then I started running shows with like people there, watching over me and stuff. And then around like January is when I was starting to do shows on my own, and then this happened.
And then
So
crap.
yeah, and I'm gonna get back and forget everything
Yeah.
or something like
So you
that.
so obviously like the live production versus like post production, I'm assuming it's a pretty different beast.
It is, but it also so many things translated over for me.
Yeah.
So it was a lot easier to grasp, but it's really good having experience with both, because you'll meet people who are just only analog or people that are like pro digital and stuff.
Yeah.
And it, working with both and just learning how sound works more, it's just like I have a better appreciation for everything. Like, use everything whenever you can. Like, whatever sounds cool. I don't care how digital it is or, you know, how raw it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's so many cool ways to make sound. Like,
so would you say that like jumping into this and, you know, starting with the Twilight series and then starting to actually do the live sound production, has it impacted how you do your recordings and stuff now?
Yeah, for sure. So when I was doing Twilight, I wasn't actually doing the audio engineering itself. I was more just like moving around like gear for like okay. out of the semi trucks and stuff, but I still got to talk with a lot of people and learn a lot. And then with shadowing, I've learned so much about just live analog sound. It's definitely translated to my recordings, because there's just stuff I've learned that I had no idea about, you know. And like me and Chase, my bandmate, guitarist, roommate, whatever, best friend, like we did the whole last Wired for Havoc record, and we think it sounds pretty good, but if we could go back and redo it knowing what we know now, like it'd be crazy, you know. There's just so many things we didn't know. So yeah, it's definitely helped for sure.
That's awesome. So like thinking of that, obviously that's the reason that most of the time bands who are successful, it's not the first, the second, or the third, or even the fourth iteration of, you know, someone being in a band. Typically it's, they've been in quite a few bands, they've learned the ropes, and they've kind of learned from all those experiences. They bring all of that joined knowledge together, and uh-huh. that's how a band kind of takes off. Right. And so like for you, what are some of the things that you wish you knew now, then, that you know now, that have changed with your process?
I definitely wish I focused more on recording and video editing in my younger days, because we were so focused on just like playing as many shows as we could, you know, and just trying to tour and all like the tangible things about music.
Yeah.
But I really wish I just would have dove into that, because learning at least one of the traits you need to be a successful band not only just saves you so much money in the grand scheme of things, but it saves you so much time too. Like I've been spending, you know, basically like I'm almost 25 and I've been spending all of my 20s learning how to produce and learning how to edit and do all this stuff, you know. And it's like if I spent time in high school doing this, but you know, hindsight's 2020.
Well, I mean, dude, 25 is like is super young. Like, that's one of the cool things too.
I'm not old or anything.
No, like I'm just saying that's a really cool thing too. Is like to see that perspective, and like you said, now you have skills that a lot of people maybe don't, because you do have experience with digital and with analog, which are two different beasts in the same arena, but they are two different beasts. There are a lot of different advantages and disadvantages to both. And so like now you're building those skills.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, I guess for your, like your production stuff, you said it'd save you a ton of money. How would it have saved you money when you were, you know, doing Wired for Havoc?
I don't regret who we did our album, our first album with, because I love the guy, Stetson Whitworth in Salt Lake. He has his own business, High Vibe Recordings. Crazy dude. He's honestly the guy who like inspired me to be a producer.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, you know, but that kind of like a producer with that much rep, you know, he's done some crazy things with some big names. You know, that's going to come with a price tag, you know.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
When you're, you know, I learned so much from him, and he's just such a great guy, and he just really inspired me to to just learn it myself. Not just to save money though. It was just like you have full control too.
Yeah.
And that was like the other big part of it is like when you go to a producer, at the end of the day, it's their song. Like as much as it sucks to say, like it's their song. They're creating it. And like
yeah.
you're like you're giving them what you want it to sound like, what you think it should sound like, but they're creating the song for you.
Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
And so like luckily, you know, any changes he would make, you know, were always good moves and like I love how everything turned out. But there always is that, and just having my own band now, like my own solo project and my own studio, it's just like it's all at my own pace, you know.
Yeah.
And like I don't have to worry about paying for it. Like I mean, I guess in the long run I spent thousands of dollars on the gear, but you know, like
but now you can make money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. I mean, now you can actually make money from that gear. So it's. I mean, realistically, it's not investment either way, right? Whether you,
yeah.
as a band, invest in having a producer who has years of experience, who is going to take, you know, who is going to cost a pretty penny, but now it's you're going to get a return because it's going to get to more audiences. People are going to listen to it more because there is the production value. I mean, there's all the different facets that go into play on that.
And it's just the way you look at it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with just having your day job and working as hard as you can to afford that producer. If you guys have chemistry, like,
yeah,
either way you have to work. You can either, because I pretty much put my music career on hold for a bit to learn this. So either way, like, you have to spend the work learning how to use the software, you know, learning how to produce, or you work somewhere else, get the money, pay for the recordings, you know, and do it that way.
Yep.
So it just depends on how much patience you have. And I don't know. I like having the options too, because being able to, you know, being an audio engineer, I can find work in so many different areas, not just with music, but like I have a buddy who does sound for like this company that does big conferences and stuff.
Yeah.
Like in big like event centers, you know, like there's just a lot of options with it.
Yeah. Well, and like the thing too is I think someone like yourself, so there are a lot of musicians who have the mind for the production side, but I think there's quite a few who don't, you know what I mean? A lot of musicians who are really talented at what they do and what they can write and create, but maybe they mm-hmm. don't have the vision that a producer would have. And so, you know, even then, sometimes it makes sense for those types of people to use a producer too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like it's how much you want to learn. Cause if you're a crazy musician, like I feel like the average person thinks recording is just sit down, press record, play it. And it's just, there's just so much more to it. Like, you know, on each instrument, EQing every single note, every single hit, you know, yada yada yada. I could go on forever about it, but it's just like people, like I feel like the whole job of being a music producer is really just overlooked.
Oh yeah,
by everyone, like band members included, like unless you've actually sat down and worked with a legit producer, like, you know.
Yeah. And I mean it, sitting down with a legit producer, it's just full circle. Sitting down with a legit producer is going to cost a ton of money.
So exactly.
Some bands don't have that opportunity because it does cost a lot of money.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the new music, bro. You've obviously been, you know, kind of trickling songs out as you've been recording them. The most recent one was Clarity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about kind of things that have been going on with your music. Cause obviously you said you took a little bit of a break, you know, you didn't release anything from, what was it, 2018 until 2020. You didn't release anything in 2019, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of went on? Obviously you were learning a bunch about production, which is fantastic. Are there a lot of songs that have been kind of written during that period that you're now working on, or what's kind of happening with the music right now?
So I mean, there's a lot. I think the biggest thing is just not feeling confident enough in my recordings to where like I want to be putting out music consistently, and now I'm to that point, you know. So that's why I've been putting out these two singles. I'm getting ready to release my album, but me and Chase, you know, we've been writing music this whole time. There's probably 100 demos just saved, whether it's a full song or like 20 seconds of a sick riff.
Yeah.
You know, so like we've just kind of been everywhere, and then we'll buy new gear, new plugins, and then we'll upgrade everything, and then we'll open it. Like there's this one song we're going to drop for one of our new projects that I really hope it comes out this year, but it just keeps being put on the back burner. But we have a music video done and everything. But we've seriously remixed that song like 30 times. Like there's like 30 different bounces, because we'll change the guitar sims or we'll retrack something or yada yada. So like I think it's just one of those things that has to happen when it's ready to happen.
Yeah.
And so my plan right now is I have like 9 or 10 Echoes Away songs that I've been working on. It'll probably be narrowed down to like 6 or 7, but I want to do this release soon and just kind of get it done and out of the way.
Yeah.
It's just something I've wanted to do for so long, but it keeps getting pushed back because I'm learning how to do all this audio stuff.
Yeah.
So I just want to get this done so I can start focusing on my heavy stuff.
So
screaming and whatnot, you
know? So you've got Echoes Away, which is obviously your solo project. But you said you've got another project inbound.
Yes.
And obviously, based on what you just said, this is going to be the heavier project. So, so is Echoes Away going to kind of fade away as the new project comes in, or are you going to continue that? What's the plan there?
My plan, I want to balance them both as evenly as possible, because my plan is me and my buddies that are helping me with these projects, we're all kind of in the same band, like give or take one person. So we're kind of just trying to hit all genres and then just see if one of us, like if one of the projects like does well. So that's just kind of where we're at. Cause I have, my buddy Mike and Chase, they play in Echoes Away with me. Mike plays the bass, but they're both also in this other heavy band. The only difference is our drummer. So it's just like, we're like the same group of like 6-7 people, and we're just trying to hit all these genres at once. I want to do them both evenly as possible, unless one really takes off, and then, you know, whatever happens, happens. If I need to start touring more or whatever.
Oh, shucks.
But it's just like a waiting, just like a waiting game, really. But
that's cool though. So, I'm assuming that the writing and demoing process is pretty different between the two projects then.
Yeah, definitely. Like the Echoes Away stuff, it's a lot more writing on my own, not with the gear. Like I'll just pick up my guitar and I'll write, or, you know, just try to like be more alone and try to make it more me. Cause Echoes Away is literally just me.
Yeah.
You know, like even if I have people helping me track different instruments, which I do here and there, like they're pretty much just doing something and then I'm okaying it, you know, or I'm kind of like guiding them on what I think it should sound like. Sure. So it's nice that it's all me, but with the heavier stuff, like we write like within the Logic session. So we'll like program out some drums and just try to come up with cool riffs to them and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that. So, and that's mostly because like I don't have a drum kit, and like we don't have like live amps right now. We've basically sold most of our live gear for the producing gear.
Oh, okay.
So like instead of like sitting down and jamming, we just kind of sit around the computer and just like bounce ideas off of each other and just kind of do it that way.
Okay. That's cool though. So like Echoes Away is it, like, I'm assuming that lyrically, are you writing both like the words for both? So are there kind of like themes that you follow based upon, like, is there a song you sit down, you start writing, you're like, ah, this one actually isn't going to fit Echoes Away. It's going to fit this other project, or vice versa.
It's different case by case. I would say overall, but for the most part, I kind of know what direction I want the message of both projects to be. Where Echoes Away is just kind of more about like struggle with depression and then like relationships. It's kind of like just the emotional bits about me, you know, like the emotional pain I've been through. Whereas like, that's just a name in progress that we're trying to use. So that okay. might change, but we're liking how that sounds right now. But, with that, we kind of want it to be more of like a political kind of just like, I want to say like out of this world kind of thing, but a lot of stuff is about like space, I guess, and like the universe.
It's
and
the
like,
Elon Musk band here.
Yeah, exactly. So like, that's kind of like the vibe we're going for with that. So it's definitely two completely different trains of thought when writing. Okay.
That's cool. So totally off topic. But did you hear that Elon Musk and Tom Cruise, they've been talking about doing the first ever movie filmed in space?
I haven't, but that would be sick.
I know, right? Like,
because
of course it's those two who are talking about it. It's like Tom Cruise is like, oh yeah, you want me to jump out? Let's do it.
I'm not even the biggest Tom Cruise fan, but his last like Top Gun movie, I don't know if it's out or not, but I know it's like the first movie where they actually filmed the people in the jets and the actors had to go through like training and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And so everything you see in that movie is like legit. Tom Cruise is actually in a jet plane, like flying around super fast. So I have mad props for that dude.
Dude, I'm a major, like I'm a mad fan. Like he's psycho in real life.
Yeah.
But like his movies, like I love pretty much all of his movies. Like every movie that I've seen, I haven't seen all of his movies, but like all the movies I've seen that are Tom Cruise movies, I'm like, dude, it's never a dull moment. Cause you've got like this, there's a one about like, that was based off these books. I don't remember what it was called. I was going to say Jack Ryan, but that's the
Minority Report.
No, I don't remember what it's called, but there's two movies that he made of that one. But then you've got like that, Day After Tomorrow or is that what it was? The one where he kind of like jumps back in time when he dies. And then like obviously the Minority Report was one of my favorite movies for a long time, but then all the Mission Impossible movies, like, dude, I just love watching movies with him in it. And it's probably because he does all of his own stunts and it makes it more impactful as you watch those action scenes. And so a space one would just be like absolutely epic.
Dude, I feel that same way about Seth Rogen, man. I love all of his movies, but no, like I see that for sure. I like Keanu Reeves. He's been killing it, dude.
So I am like the original Keanu Reeves fan because one of my favorite movies of all time is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I like Bogus Journey as well, but Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is like top tier entertainment.
Yeah, I had to go see that after watching all of the John Wick's, because those are the first like Keanu Reeves. I almost said Kanye.
Kanye Reeves.
Those are the first Keanu movies I've ever seen. So I watched that, dude.
Oh, really?
The guy. Yeah.
You didn't even watch The Matrix at all, huh?
No, I did too. I went back and watched The Matrix.
But it started with John Wick. You didn't watch The Matrix prior to that, huh?
No, like I knew who Keanu Reeves was, but I wasn't really like, I don't know. I just never really saw anything with him.
Yeah.
And then honestly, John Wick is like one of my favorite movies of all time. Like that whole series.
Yeah.
Like,
that trilogy.
I'm so stoked for the next
one. Yeah, dude, that fourth one's going to be insane. Like Keanu Reeves just is so bad. Like that's just, I don't know.
Doesn't even try.
I know. He's just so freaking cool, man. Like,
and then you see like the photos of him, like when he does the red carpet and he doesn't actually touch the women. Have you seen that? Where like, so he's like in Hollywood, he's named as like the most respectable actor because whenever he puts his arm around people in pictures, he doesn't actually touch them. And you can like zoom in and see that.
Interesting.
He's just like this total gentleman.
What a cool dude, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just seems like a really rad dude. Just genuinely a rad guy. I would love to meet him one day, man. Like, he's going to be in Cyberpunk 2077. That's going to be insane.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Did you watch that announcement with that for that game?
I kind of did. Like, I know people, I don't know much about it, like the first one or anything.
Yeah.
I know, like, there's so much hype and people are really stoked. But usually for games like that I might be interested in, or at least games I know are going to be really good, like, I don't watch trailers ever. I just let them surprise me.
Yeah. I had no idea what to expect from it because I was just watching E3 because, like, obviously this is gonna be this year, they're not gonna have it, but like each year I like to watch E3 to see kind of what the games are, what the consoles are, the direction of you know, electronic entertainment, and Cyberpunk 2077 was like this big announcement, and I was like, I don't even know what this is. So I'm watching the whole thing, I'm like, oh, this looks kind of cool, and then at the end you just see Keanu Reeves and he comes out on stage and it's just like epic. It was like, no way. Yeah, and it was just like,
I saw like the footage of that.
Yeah, dude. And he's just like, you're amazing. And he's just like, dude, what a cool man. Oh man.
It really is, man.
So with, you said it was that's what you were thinking of for the other band?
Yeah. It's a working title, and there's other stuff too. I probably wasn't even supposed to say it, but it slipped out.
No problem. I'll edit it out. I'll make it sound like it was a swear word, you know, just like duck the audio.
Yeah, put in one of those beeps.
Just beep. for that project, do you have like a timeline for when you're starting to release music and starting to do live shows and stuff with your other project?
Live shows is really up in the air right now. Cause we're trying to attack the industry from multiple genres, multiple sides.
Yeah.
And it's just like shows really aren't that beneficial anymore. They're just not, as sad as it is. It's, most of the time, if you're going to book a show, you're going to spend more money trying to put it on and get people to come out, unless you really have like
a good,
unless you really have a legit following that'll come out, you know?
Yeah.
So really we're just trying to attack the media with videos and just putting out consistent videos and songs really. And just kind of waiting for the demand to play, you know, when we start getting people like, oh, you should play a show. Like that's when we'll start really worrying about it.
Yeah. So you said, go on.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just, you said that you already had a music video, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like a funky, like green screen video. Like most of our videos are going to try to make a little like unique, try to make more like green screen, more wacky.
Okay.
More interesting. Not just your basic, like, you know, like band shot and then some girl running in slow motion. I don't even know. like we're trying to like think outside the box for sure, you know?
Yeah. When you said wacky green screen video, it literally, the first thing that popped in my head was the John Mayer song, Your Light or Something Light, whatever the name of the song is. Have you seen that music video?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, dude. He's in like these like moon pants and like this hideous jacket. And he's in front of a green screen the entire video. And it's just, it's hilarious, but it's like New Light. That's what it's called. It's called New Light. You've got to watch it. It's just like when you said wacky and green screen, you'll know what I'm talking about when you watch it.
have you heard of Bill Murray?
Oh, maybe? Dude, the band?
Yeah, the band.
Yeah, dude. Freaking.
Okay.
So it was what, the guitarist from Attack? Is that what it was? Or the synthesizer player?
Yeah, or it was the original guitarist. Singer.
Guitarist, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny Frank's his name. But, dude, he's like my favorite artist right now, and his videos are nuts. Like,
oh, really?
That's kind of the stuff I'm trying to do. Like, just go watch some of his videos, and you'll see what I mean. They're all just gnarly.
Yeah, I've only ever listened to the music. I've never watched any of the videos.
I'll have to text you some, man. I will after this chat, for sure.
Heck yeah, man. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I actually really enjoy Bill Murray music. Like, they're that band. They create some really cool stuff, and they're kind of what you're talking about, the genre bend too. They don't really stick to a single genre very, very much, which is really cool. Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that's my, like I love it because it's still like punk. It's still like heavy. Like it has those roots, but he's just so random and funny and just like carefree in his music. And it's really inspiring. I feel like it's just basically him. Like he does everything. He produces everything. He masters it all. And then he just has like a bassist and drummer play shows with him.
Yeah.
But it's just like super inspiring because he just like doesn't care. Like he'll just like if you know the songs, you know what I mean. He'll just throw like really humorous, funny things everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, he's got like I didn't know it was a solo project, but yeah, that's really cool.
Like it was, and that's the thing. Like I've just kind of been following him, like not to be like a copycat, obviously, because like the music sounds different, but he just knows what he's doing as far as marketing goes. Like he's been creating music for Bill Murray, I think, since like 2014 or 2015, and he hadn't played a show till last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like everything up until the record Wet Milk that just came out, like he didn't play any shows.
Dang.
And Wet Milk came out like last year.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny to see the contrast because obviously the when it comes to the band, like I never really listened to Attack, but they were such a big, they were such like a controversial band in the scene. Back in the day. Mm-hmm. so like,
I was never really into them, honestly.
Just yeah, me like, neither. But I really enjoy Beartooth and I really enjoy Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And like Beartooth is obviously the old vocalist from Attack in a hardcore punk band, which is super dope. But
we need some Bear Murray, dude.
Yeah, dude, combine the two, get some, yeah, freaking that'd be awesome.
Caleb Shoma was actually featured on one of Bill Murray's latest songs.
No way.
And it's actually super funny because he was gonna come in and actually do a part, but something happened and he couldn't make it to the studio. So like if you like at the very end of the song, like the whole song's over and you just hear Caleb go, "Hey, it's Caleb Shoma. Here's my vocal feature. Thanks." And then the song ends. It's just like, who thinks of that?
That's amazing. Oh my gosh, dude. That is fantastic. Oh my gosh. Well, bro, as we finish things up, so obviously I had you on the podcast like 19 months ago. Like,
yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while. And so since then, I have started to... I liked to add another little fun part to the end of the podcast. So okay. I just like to kind of get random kind of trivial facts about you. So first one.
Let's do it.
What's your favorite candy?
Favorite candy? That changes so much, honestly. But let's see. Probably Starbursts.
Which
Mike and Ike's or like gummy candies mostly, but red Starburst, man.
The fave reds. Okay. I can dig. Tropical's my jam.
Which is great because like everyone likes pink and no one really cares for red. So I get all their reds.
See, that's the funny thing is like, so I get made fun of because there are a lot of people who think yellow Starburst just shouldn't exist. And I'm like the exact opposite. Yellow used to be my favorite, but they're very close second to pink, but like I would much rather just get pinks and yellows. Like I would be fine if everyone just left the yellows. Well,
I don't understand. It's like people like, do they really hate them that much? They won't eat them.
If they don't, like, that's great for me. They're all good. Yeah. They're all great flavors.
I'm not going to eat their red ones. Like why? It's candy. Like, eat it.
Yeah. It's like, I'm too picky for the candy that I'm given.
Exactly.
But I'm all about that tropical jam, dude. That green bag. Oh, so good. I want them to do the unwrapped version of that because that'll just, they probably shouldn't for my sake because I'll just keep buying it and it'll be a problem. What about the Mike and Ike? What flavor of Mike and Ike's?
Oh my goodness. Probably the tropical one. The one with like the blue raspberry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a solid. I mean, the gummy candies really are just like untouchable. They're just so good.
I like chocolate and salty candies like that, but I'd always choose gummies over chocolate.
Oh, me too. Like It's a very rare occasion where I'm choosing a chocolate candy over a gummy fruity candy.
It's just too rich, too sweet for me now.
Yeah, man. All right, next one. What is your favorite? Well, this is going to be, you know, once things get back to normal, it'll be more applicable, but your favorite restaurant to eat at, whether it's drive through, whether it's dine in, doesn't matter, whether it's just like Uber Eats to your house, whatever it is, what's your favorite restaurant?
Man, these are tough. Like, I feel like when I'm on the spot, it's just harder to answer these, man.
That's exactly that's exactly why I do this, you know, puts you on the spot. You have to think about yourself. Now people get to know you better.
Sure. Let's see. I'll tell you a couple that I really love, because it's hard for me just to like have a favorite, but India Palace in Provo. That's definitely,
that's the one on Center Street, Provo.
Yes.
That's the one that has the buffet, right? Like every day.
They do like the lunch buffet, but if you like actually get a dinner there, ooh, it's so good. They have this like sweet naan. It's got like this like sugar glaze on it. I don't even know. It's so good.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
No, I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's just like their sweet naan.
Dude, that's awesome.
And then they also have like garlic naan, which is cool. So I love Indian food, which is funny. I don't like spicy stuff, but I love Indian food.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time Indian food's pretty darn spicy.
And then I like me a good burger, like a really good, like not fast food, just big juicy burger, you know?
So where would you go for that?
Right now, my go-to burger is probably Barry's in Spanish Fork.
Oh, that's, you know, the drive-through, right? With the milkshakes?
It's right across from that. That's
cool. Oh, the drive-up, the one that's just the front. Like, there's no dining area.
Yeah, so Barry's does have the dining area. Glades is the one you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
You just, like, walk up to it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, dude, I drove through Spanish Fork today because, I got some cookies for a coworker's family. They had something happen. Crumble. Yeah, I went to Crumble.
Oh,
and,
dude, Crumble's so
good. Oh, dude, freaking amazing, bro. Oh, yeah. My gosh. I can't even stop, dude. I eat them way too much. But literally the drive-through for Barry's was out onto the road. Like, literally, like, 15 cars out onto the road was how far back the drive-through was today. I was floored. I was like, and people are just chilling. They're waiting. They're totally fine. I was like, I would not have the patience for that. But apparently it's good, because obviously it's your go-to right now. So,
well, yeah, I mean, honestly, through the pandemic, I've been getting lots of Taco Bell. They haven't had,
dude,
pretty bad lines at all.
Dude, because Taco Bell is just, they are the king of all fast food. Like, they just know.
It's not even a question.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, there's no doubt, man.
It goes Taco Bell, then Wendy's, then McDonald's. And I don't even need to mention Burger King. It just shouldn't exist. I don't know why they're still in business.
Yeah. And I mean, like, dude, Chick-fil-A up is like, for me, Chick-fil-A is way up there too. But don't at me. I am all about the spicy chicken at Wendy's over any other spicy chicken. That is my jam at Wendy's.
I'll
like,
agree.
I don't really like a whole lot of things at Wendy's. I don't really like, but their spicy chicken nuggets and their spicy chicken sandwich. That is just heavenly.
What's your go-to at Taco Bell?
Oh, dude, I'm typically getting they got rid of it now, but it was the cheesy gordita crunch meal that I would get. But now, dude, They ended
my favorite
that.
Thing.
It was the
they,
number
they
seven,
always
and it's
have
gone.
The item, though.
Yeah,
they still have the gordita, which is the only thing that matters. So
yeah, that's true. But I mean, it was nice to have it in a meal where I'd get a large Baja Blast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dude, my mouth is watering. Here's a tip, though: when you get that, let me tell you what to do, man. When you get that, you make sure you get it with that nacho cheese Doritos taco shell.
Dude, I used to do it with the Cool Ranch back when they did the Cool Ranch. Okay. Oh.
So you know what's going on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. And then if you switch out the beef for chicken every now and then. Ooh,
I haven't tried that. I actually
try that.
Dude, I don't know that I've ever had anything chicken there aside from their chicken quesadilla, which is like the dollar menu item.
Dude, try it for real. It's really good.
The real jam at Taco Bell is the it's on the value menu. It's the spicy potato soft taco, especially if someone's a vegetarian, they can still enjoy their Taco Bell because it's still the king in the vegetarian world.
Dude, let's just be real here. Taco Bell, it saved so many musicians' lives.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like,
it's wrecked their lives the next day, but it saved their lives the night after a show.
Exactly, dude.
All right, next one. What is your favorite show that you have that you've been to? So it could either be like the best one in terms of production value, or just like the most the best one for like, holy crap, I'm never gonna forget this because of whatever reason.
Yeah, dude, there's so many shows with so many moments. I think my favorite show ever, I saw back in like 2009, I saw Green Day with Franz Ferdinand.
Oh, nice.
And they were touring on their 21st Century Breakdown album. And we were at, it was back when Vivint Center was called Energy Solutions.
Yeah. And so, things had more names than like, it's crazy, man.
Yeah. So me and like my junior high girlfriend at the time and my sister, we were like on the very left side of the stage, like up in the, not the bowl seats, but like down, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a aisle seat, and it was during the song Know Your Enemy, and they're like playing the bridge. I don't know if you've seen many live Green Day videos, but they'll like play a bridge of a song and extend it and have like crowd interaction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like no one knows where Billy Joe went. Like, we can't find him anywhere. And then I look down, he's walking up my aisle.
Oh, snap. Guitar,
and he was right next to me. Like, I grabbed his shoulder, and he's way short, dude.
Yeah, dude. He's real short.
But I'll never forget that, because I was such a massive Green Day fan back then. And like little 13 or 14 year old me, like, gotta like grab Billy Joe Armstrong's shoulder. It's cool because like I've got to meet lots of musicians I listen to now, whether they're at their merch table, you know, or something, and you get to talk to like singers now. But like someone of that caliber, like, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong,
that was, you had to buy VIP backstage, like hundreds of dollars to meet the band, and they were very limited. And
it's not like the story so far, or like something where they're chilling at the merch table after, you know.
Which, I mean, realistically, dude, like in terms of bands that like don't have to do that, the story so far is definitely one of those bands where they don't have to go and sit at the merch table because they've kind of arrived. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're so dope that they're gonna always do it.
Yeah, and like that's the same with lots of metal and punk bands now, but. Yeah, dude, I'll never forget that. I think that was a really cool moment. And then as far as quality goes, I'd have to say Enter Shikari puts on the best show.
Dude, their new album's pretty sick.
It's so good. It's so good.
It caught me by surprise because I've never really listened to them hardly at all. But I've got a buddy at work. He and I, like every week we're talking new music, like, you know, the new Dance Gavin Dance and the Enter Shikari, you know, we're just kind of talking about all the new music that's been released and stuff. And he was like, dude, have you listened to the Enter Shikari? And I was like, oh, I mean, I heard the singles from it. He's like, dude, just listen to the whole album. Just do it. And I did. And I was like, so good. It's really good.
Dude, they put on a killer show. I've seen them like four or five times. And one of the times was at Club Sound. They changed the name, I think, to like the Greek Station, but.
Oh yeah.
You know the venue I'm talking about, like the pole in the middle. It's like during their set in that one, they like had the audience build a human pyramid.
No
like,
way.
It was so tight. It's like, it's going to take skill and perseverance, and you got to trust one another. And like, we just built this massive human pyramid like in the middle of the floor.
That's amazing.
So crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But they always have like a killer light show, which is one of my
favorite
things.
Yeah, that was one
of
their, that's one of their big, like their big, things that's very unique to them, right? Is that their live performances are supposed to be just like insane production value.
Like they're one of those bands. There's a select few bands I try to see every single time they come through. Enter Shikari is one of them, along with like the story so far, obviously. But like, yeah, they're definitely like, if they're coming to Utah, I've got a ticket.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
That's awesome, man. Oh, dude, that's cool. So this is going to be the last question. If you could, actually, no, there's going to be two. Sorry. The first one's a vacation. Your dream vacation. Once the world gets back to normal, planes are flying, no one's going crazy and like, you know, coughing on the plane and stuff. Where are you going if you could go on a dream vacation? Maybe it's not honestly, flying. Maybe you're driving. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of cool places, but somewhere I've never been is Hawaii. I really think that'd be cool to go to Hawaii or like Australia.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I want to go to New Zealand. That's where I want to go.
Dude, my parents went there and they had the best time and I was so jealous.
Yeah, dude, there's this thing called like the Kiwi Tours or something like that. It's like $2,500. You have to pay for your flight to New Zealand, but everything else is covered in terms of.
That's not that bad.
It's honestly. Really not. Like $2,500 per person. It's like 10 days. And you're like, and literally you're like, you're on a bus and they
paid for,
yeah. Like, so like
living and all that.
Yeah. So you've got a room paid for, you've got like breakfast and, I think it's breakfast and lunch is paid for. You have to pay for dinner. But it's like, you literally, it's like, you've got a few different options, like a 10 day, a 14 day, an 18 day, like a different options for like the thing, but they drive you up and you literally go and you do this whole loop around New Zealand. And so you get to like, you basically experience all four seasons in this one trip because you're going up to the top of a glacier and then you're going down to these beautiful green beaches and then you're going through like basically a rainforest and it's like, what the heck? And I would just love it.
Day in Utah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, exactly. but it's in New Zealand, so it's, you know.
Dude, seeing like where Lord of the Rings was shot would be pretty dope.
Dude, that'd be so cool. Honestly, see Hobbit Town.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. So last one. This is officially the last one. What is like if you could play a show anywhere, where would you play a show? Like venue.
Venue. Probably, and this is just based off of like where my biggest fan base is, but I'd say New York because I'd have to say that's where the majority of Wired for Havoc fans were.
Really? So I guess New York and New Jersey has a pretty big kind of hardcore punk rock scene.
Like, I honestly feel like we'd sell like a 200 cap room if we played there. Like,
that'd be cool.
We've never played there. We almost did, but like just from what I've seen, like from the stats and everything, like a lot of our plays are from New York and just like a lot of our like traffic are people from New York. So
nice. Yeah. Well, dude, that'd be dope. Yeah, dude. Freaking New York's awesome. My sister lives up there. It's really cool.
I was there when I was a little kid. I don't remember much of it, but I'd love to go back.
Well, dude, whenever you do a tour up there, you've got like I've talked to bands from over in that area and it's like super advantageous because you've literally got, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, you know, all of you've got basically a plethora of options for venues and like, it's all within like an 8 to 10 hour drive of each other. Right. Whereas like here in Utah, it's like an 8 to 10 hour drive to get to the next venue.
Yeah, for sure.
But dude, thank you for joining me again, man. It was
dude, thank you for having me. Dude.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun.
To you again.
Yeah, man. And I wanted to make sure I actually didn't mention it, but I wanted to make sure I let you know the new songs are dope, and I'm stoked to hear. Thanks, obviously, man. as you continue working and you know release your album, super stoked to see that. And obviously, you know, whenever you pursue and start releasing stuff as insert funny sound here because the band name is redacted. you know, let me know. I would love to start, you know, love to check it out and listen to that stuff too.
For sure, man. I'm down to be on whenever you'd like. So just let me know.
Let's make it happen, bro.
Yeah, let's do it. We need to get some Taco Bell too soon.
Oh man, Taco Bell, man. I literally had Taco Bell last night because we do Taco Tuesday, and we were like, I don't want to cook, so we went to Taco Bell with our kids.
That's the way to do it. And you need to, and you're already craving more, right?
Oh, dude, every day I could eat Taco Bell like all the time. It's a problem.
Every meal. Yeah, well, thanks, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, dude. Have a good night.
You too, dude.